How y'all? Me too. First of all, I want to tell you thank you for letting me come here. You guys have a tight group, and I appreciate that. It'd probably be harder to get into my group than me get into yours. I just don't trust people coming to our work. It's too fresh, it's too anointed, and I just don't want it messed up. And there's too many strange fires running around that's got the right look. The right car, the right clothes, the right shout. It's the wrong God. Okay? So, not to be smart with you, I'm not trying to be. Please, guys, my daddy was a pastor. I've been in this my whole life. I'm not here to be smart with you, but I'm not here to take any flack from no devils either, okay? So there we'll start with that. Amen. And it's not my opinion of what devils are. It's what's written right in here. There's a difference. There's a lot of difference. And I want to tell the pastor thank you for again. To me, it's a very honorable thing to be standing behind another man's place. Not in his place, but with him. And I just want to tell all y'all, I appreciate it. My wife's here. Still, we're doing good. We still love each other. And she's blessed to have me as a husband. And I'm blessed to have her as a wife. Amen? That's good. And so let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be amongst great men of God. It's my privilege, God. And you know how much it matters to me inside. And I thank you, God, that we will learn from each other today. We will not view these things as points of politics or aggression against each other, God. But we will try to work out some things, God, that will help us be better, more sharp, greater use to you and your kingdom in Jesus' name. And I rebuke and refute the devil by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, then. What I want to do here is turn over to Isaiah just for a second. Since I've seen y'all, I've been doing some building. I've been down in South America in a couple of countries. I've been back up in our work in Mexico. And things are good for us. I don't like to keep challenging people physically, but our work, you can't do it if you're not in great shape. Physically, your body I'm talking about, it's without the physical conditioning I have, I couldn't do my work. Most of you guys in here can't do it. It's not because that's my opinion, that work is greater than I am. Paul Brill, who works with me, put it like this: the work is so large and it runs so fast, if you can't outrun it, it'll run over you. It'll smush you. And it's eat quite a few guys, good guys. But I still, I would like what I'm doing now. I've changed our way of doing things. And when American pastors come down, or leaders of anybody, you don't have to be pastors really, but when groups come down, I don't take them in the heavy bush no more. That's over with. You can't do it. You're too soft. You believe that things around you should conform to the way you are. But God believes that we should conform to the way He is, and He created this world. And His Word spoken into existence, and we can't change that, but we try as being American. So I changed to meet it myself. And it's allowed me, because of that mentality, to go places where there's never ever been an American, and there's never ever been gospel. And there's hundreds and hundreds of areas in our church, in our areas where we work. I mean, I'm finding more and more of them. It hurts my feelings to find them. Used to, I was blessed. When I was young, I was arrogant, I was ambitious, and I was foolish. And I was, boy, look at here, these nuts, I'm so glad I found this place. Boy, I can do it, God, nobody else can. Now I'm sad when I find a place like that, because I know of the thousands of people and generations of lost souls that's going to burn in hell. Because of one problem, that's physical conditioning. It isn't the lack of vision. It's not the lack of anointing. It's the lack of the right mentality to do the work of God. And without it, we're not going anywhere. It doesn't matter where you are and what kind of area you live in. You may be blessed to live in Wisconsin, where they grow the best cheese, in my opinion. I love that cheese. Man, eat all you want. Boy, it would be nice, you know. But where I live, it's pretty rough. The food is a lot of times, and I have particularly not grown to enjoy it yet. But it's still, I do it every day. We go out 7 days a week. I take off 4 days a month. And the rest of it, we work. And it's usually a couple of services a day for me. And just doing it for Jesus every day, every day, every day. My day, I get up in the morning, usually a few minutes to five every day. And we pray with my family and I, my kids, all of us get up together and we worship God together. For a couple of hours, they start their school day and I start my work day with Jesus. And now we go from there. And then the fasting, of course, y'all don't want to talk about that, so we won't. Go to Isaiah. This is a very famous place, Isaiah chapter 9. It's real famous. Everybody can preach it in here better than I can. I'm sure of it. So I just want to talk about it. I'm not going to necessarily preach to you. But God has given us a great touch, our work. Just out of joking, everybody knows about the Toronto blessing around the world. We call ours the Placeta's blessing. Nobody knows about it. But that's all right. We know about it. And it's a really funny place. It's called the Tortilla Blessing. Hallelujah. So, verse 1. See, when you know, the other day, we have this zone in our work. It's quite large. But it's taboo. You're forbidden to go in there. But it happens, so happens that I've got lots of churches up in there. Well, Jesus does. It's our work. And every opposition that's out there, whether it's witchcraft, the Catholic Church, the communist, they're our greatest hindrances. They kill us. They've literally killed a lot of our pastors. And they're the main principalities out there. And then you have, of course, the drugs that's grown there. You have the mafia that's there. It's quite a tangled up mess to have to try to work in. We act like they're not even there. I just get up in the morning and I see on my schedule I got to go to this place. I don't allow the thoughts of all the murders and the killings, the hits and all that to enter my brains. I just get in my little four-wheel drive truck and I just bounce out to church and do my thing and come home. And I'm totally dependent on Jesus. It's not like I am not a foolish man. I wouldn't be alive in front of you if I was. God's blessed me with some ability to stay alive out in them woods out there. And so, but at the same time, I don't allow their abilities, their fear, and those things that they have to consume the joy and the power of God in my life, to dim it, you know. It's not possible. It's not possible for them to take away from what God's given to me. So I have a question for you ministers. Y'all going to give me some, that's fine, but I got one for you. Do you remember when God made His covenant with Abraham? He promised him that you're going to be this and that and all this. Oh boy, it's going to be fun and I'm going to make you nations, and you have in your loins there are nations, and he didn't even have a son. And then God gave him a son, and it went through quite an ordeal with that to get him. But he got that son, and then God asked him to sacrifice that boy up, kill him. And in a sense, of course, it's like what God did for us with His son and so forth and all that. My question is, you know, when God broke in here, and it says right here in verse 1, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation when at the first He lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterwards He did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in the Galilee of the nations, and the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath light shined. Now, did or did not God bring forth His glory into that nation? Did He not form a nation? He drew it up from nothing. I mean, there were other people inhabiting that place. And God said, that's your place. But in that place, there was all these giants and demons and things. They had to literally go out there. They were covered in blood. Continually, these great men of God, Moses and Joshua and those guys, would come home at night. And their wives had to wash men's flesh and bone off of them from fighting, taking over what God had given to them and said, hey, it's yours, boys. But did they not have to fight, I mean, hair and eyeballs, literally. They were covered and their hands literally clave to their swords. And I mean, it was really what you expect the glory you're asking from God to be any different? That to me is a great question. I don't see where an arrogant nation like ours has the right to be that way. I disagree with the mentality, because our nation is so blessed and our forefathers did what was right after they slaughtered the Indians. Don't get me on that one, please. But they did right. God has blessed our nation. But I want to ask you, what did it cost them? What did it cost all of our grandpas, great-grandpas, and great-great-great-great-great, everybody? Everybody put blood on it for us. And yet we want to waltz in here. I believe it's arrogance. I believe it's ambition. And I believe it's politics. And I refute it, and I will not back down. How you like that, huh? Gee, well, God's crazier than I've heard. Yeah, he is. Yes. What you've heard is just a little bit. You should see how it really is. I think it's an honorable question for us as men and women of God to look at and to say, because we go to God, we have what we feel like visions from God for areas God has specifically put on our heart, right? I wouldn't doubt that anybody in here that's been in ministry very long and's got a vision, you've probably got it written out on paper, and you probably even have a little map that shows where you're going to work. X marks the spot. And you got little flags all over the place. You got all kind of little stuff done up. Well, to me, it's arrogant and it's politicizing God, and it's ambition that would think that we could walk into a situation and get anything different than what God's original people got. If you're going into an area for the first time and you believe truly God sent you there, I'm for you and with you. I really am. Go do it. But for you to think that you don't have to go through what Joshua went through to take the land, you're arrogant. And I refute that. And you're going to get your eyeballs fly open. Most of you won't succeed because of that. I had no idea about this when I went in. I told you I was arrogant and ambitious when I first hit the field. I was. I wish I could redo it. I'll tell you, if I could go now over, it wouldn't be like it was then. I can't redo the water. It went, it's gone, and y'all's is too. But a lot of you are newer, and you're wanting to open the areas fresh, and the older guys are wanting more area too. But I want you to know, my first dealings with principalities and powers was quite startling. That the prince himself of the area manifested right in the room where I was praying. I had no idea what that was. How you doing, man? What's that? And he was 2 or 3 feet off the ground, floating. You know, and I didn't even know what it was. Goofy, arrogant, ambitious American I was. I said, my Lord God. All right. But the thing is that we've got to realize, look in verse 3. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. You can take that ever how you want to. You Bible scholars say he's taking this out of context. Say what you want to. But I'll promise you, most of you in here know how to get people, but you don't know how to get them filled with joy. You don't know how people, because of this great bloodletting that goes on in the spirit world, and it happens in sickness and disease in your own body and your families, and then it gets into your churches, and it just devastates you. It's normal. Hey. Hello. That's normal for a church, for a people of God that's got the devil against them, that's going into areas that's been controlled forever by principalities and powers. This ain't something new. This ain't something that you just got into. Hey, look at me, I'm alone and I'm by myself. You're not. That's a foolish thought. God's with you. And we got to trust Him enough to let inside of all of that garbage that happens to us daily as ministers, it's we've got to learn how to let that joy flow anyway. And we've got to learn to let that joy flow continually. Look, I know something about cows and horses and a little bit about animals, even chickens. They got to have water every day. Or they're going to go somewhere where they can get it. And I'm telling you what, if you want your sheep happy, buddy, you groom them sheep and you feed them, you water them. And they'll be happy and they'll be content and they'll stay right put. They will. And great, see, the nation's being multiplied inside the church, but the great joy is not there. But it says right here, it says that they joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice in the when they divide the spoil. That's the joy I want in my work. I want that great joy where I personally have never been in a war where you are looting and all of that. But I've read about it all through the Bible and even starting with Abraham all the way through. There's great joy when the gods are still covered in blood. They won the victory. Their friends are dead around them. But the victory is theirs. They're still standing there with their swords in their hands, covered in the blood of the enemy. But the loot belongs to them, son. And all the tired and all the fatigue flees when you got your loot in your hand that you was going for and fighting for and you won. But you don't get it without the battle. And you got to be able to lead your people into that kind of a battle and keep the joy in the army. I'm talking about the joy as when we first got saved, when that light... Do you remember that? When you first got... You said, whoa! I did. Man, I couldn't believe what hit me. Really, it was tremendous. And that joy, that fresh, that happy, that new feeling of life that sprung up in me that y'all all felt too when you were born, reborn. And then when you were filled with the Holy Ghost, oh God, it was out there, boy. You have to, at all costs, fight to keep that. Look here in verse 4, it says, "For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, the staff of his shoulder, the rod of the oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with what?" What does y'all's Bible say? I'm sure it says something similar to mine. I've never been in a fight where I wasn't confused. And I have them every day, almost. Kind of an aggressive guy I am. I attract war. It just comes to me natural. But it's always a confusing thing because most of the time it's presented to me in such a way as I need to go with opposition. But something inside of me tells me, no, stand and hush. Don't. And it brings about a beginning of a confusion. Once you engage the war then, most of the time you really don't know who the enemy is at first. So it brings more confusion to you. And the battle is confused. And then you begin to sort it out and go on in. Then it's not confusing anymore. It's just keep chopping till you find daylight. Hallelujah. Regardless of what name of it is, whether it's ambition, whether it's division, pride, contention, it doesn't matter the name, whether it's a sickness, a disease, the name is immaterial. The process is what we got to get a hold of. Because we all know we got the victory. Everybody knows that more than anything else. But we're not getting them like we're told we are. And so that brings about a little more confusion, adds to the devil's abilities with us. Right? I want to say something about you and what them doctors told you. The other day you said that. Yeah, I just heard you say it a while ago. See, when I went through this thing with my entire family, there was not one person in my family that didn't receive a slaughter. From the littlest to the greatest. Okay. I didn't know when I started into that what was happening. I didn't know that all these men were going to quit our ministry. I didn't know that churches were going to quit us. I didn't know Americans were going to quit supporting us. Every possible available defeat was handed to me. Laid right down there, attacked. That confusion was everywhere. I was just... That's the way I was. But then I started getting into that weak thing like you're talking about. I went on and I'm a strong individual myself. Physically, I'm real strong. And stamina, mentally wise, is pretty stout, see? And so I was running along there quite a while, and I didn't know I had advanced amoebas. I didn't know I had cholera in my body. And it's just I couldn't get out of bed one morning. But I ain't staying in the bed, and I ain't going down. But enough of the enemy piled on your head, you'll sit down. And it didn't embarrass me. It made me mad. I was confused. I was bewildered. I don't know how to increase my attack level on the devil very much. I'm there. I'm up there, boy. It's intense. It's out there, boy. Praying and fasting hours a day. Read the Bible, study, meditate the Word. I don't have time for these financing things and political junk. That's all I have time to do is pray. You see, so that's, I'm glad it's that way. But I didn't understand how come in my own personal life. But I want you to look at the next part of this verse. I laid in the bed 11 days. Actually, it was 10 days. Bleeding out my rectum, bleeding in the urine, bleeding out my nose, bleeding out my ears, bleeding out my eyes. My wife had to change the sheets a couple times a day to get rid of the blood. The diarrhea, the vomit, the fever. I'd drift in and out of consciousness for several days. And all my wife would do would come in there, we'd turn on the Bible tape and let it run 24 hours a day. That's fine. The Word's what heals. There's nothing else to heal you but the Word of God. And so that's how we do it. And so the confusion of the battle was there. The feeling of the distancing of God, the friends, all of that, that's normal. All y'all know what I'm talking about. The loneliness. You feel depraved. You feel all of those things. If you're feeling those things, you truly are on the right trail. You are. You're down the right road. Jesus is walking there. You're all right. You'll run into him in a minute. He ain't there. He may not be where you feel him right now, but he's on the same road with you.
Yes, sir.
And in a minute, unless you bail out, he's going to be. He'll touch you, but it will take a minute. Yeah, my mental capacity was very strong, but when it went right through my whole family, then it got me too. It got pretty rough, you know. And then when men that I trusted for 10, 12 years started bailing out on me, that hurts real bad. But if you really realize, if you who you say you are, if you're their servant, you have no right to what they do, do you? They can't submit to your servitude. You don't need them. I know what I'm saying. I'm talking about my friends when I say that. They have left me. And I love these guys. Love's not the issue here. I tell that to my wife all the time. Love's not what we're talking about here. It's right and wrong. It's walking with Jesus. It's submitting to devils. And there's a big difference. Okay. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at verse 5. It says, "For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood." And if you don't believe that yet, it's just because you don't have enough experience in ministry yet. You'll change your mind in about 5 years. I promise you. Because if you are aggressively going after what God has told you to do, them principalities are not going to give you much more room. They're going to come at you with everything they've got, and they're going to ask for the devil for some more help. And the more you aggressively attack them back, the greater their offense gets, and the more. But I'm not a defensive hand. I'm an offensive guy. I don't have a defensive plan. I apologize to you about that, but no such thing exists in my brains. It's attack and to be aggressive and take territory from the devil on all fronts. At all times. What's this? This is where I lose you, regardless of cost. And I'm not talking monetary. I'm talking physical. I'm talking great men. And now we're talking a different war than you're used to. Y'all don't, when you start talking that kind of stuff, y'all kind of bail on me. You just kind of pray, praise the Lord, Brother Hogan, hallelujah. You get real nice with me. But you fight that devil long enough, you and that nice way are going to part. Because you're going to have to make a choice and a decision. And if things go right tonight, that's going to be my topic, is choices we make. And the reason, the actual thing, let me read this right, I won't lie to you folks. But the reason, some of the reasons that we're not healed, touched, blessed, and delivered, God has spoken to me a couple of reasons why. I'm going to share some of it. Actually, God gave me some revelation on it during. And so anyway, we're going to be blessed. But what you got to realize is, quitting is not an option. Division is not an option. Because God will all of a sudden turn to the very next phrase. He didn't even get out of the verse here. He didn't even get out of verse 5. He says, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. I'm telling you, God's going to let me burn the devil. Every attack, every battle, every suffering, every moment of anguish, every moment of defeat, which I feel quite regular, because I'm a very emotional guy. The where I live is a roller coaster. And all of those things that I could be in on a dead raise in 1 minute and feel like the garbage dump the next. That's where I live. And the dead person standing there, and I feel like trash for even being in the presence of somebody that God touched and raised from the dead. That's how I live. You think your life is rough, so is mine. We're all in the same boat, but some of us are a little bit more intense than others. And some of us know how to deal with it better than others, too. There's such a variety in God's kingdom. You know, it's all necessary to work together. That's why division is such a demon. You ambitious little devils, I rebuke you by the blood of Jesus and I curse it. I wish I could strangle every ambitious devil by the throat. One day God might give me that opportunity. If we get up to heaven and He says, I got an excess of demons that you guys let multiply down there. Hogan, come here. Here's you a knife. Cut a few throats. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. That probably won't happen, but I'd sure like it. Because see, look at verse 6. Going right out of bloodletting and confused noise of battle into a child is born. See, somehow God is able to, and it's God to do this, in the middle of the confusion of war, to always have the constant reminder of the Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting, the Wonder of Mankind, Jesus. Somehow we got to be big enough in God, in the middle of the noise of the rustle of the sabers, we got to know about the child Jesus, the great King. It's got to be done. Many great men have fallen because they failed. They're great warriors. They can teach a lot better than I can on fighting principalities and devils and use all the right terminology that I don't even know that you guys need, I guess. I don't need it. I just need the name of Jesus. But personally, I mean, y'all can have it. I don't care. But it's they fail to remember Jesus. And in the process of time, because of such fighting with the devil and such being rolled in blood so much and the process of battle and the fatigue gets them, kills them. Whereas the battle couldn't, but their own lack of communication with God during the battle kills them. And their own lack of having men around them that'll tell them no and not submitting to it kills them. One of the greater devils I've ever met was ambition. I hate that thing. In a godly sense, ambition is, of course, you know it's right. When you're aggressive against demons and all that, but whenever you use that same ambition on your fellow workers around you, you're listening to devils instantly. I'm telling you right now. Anytime you use it against another Christian, you got devils yourself. You listen to the devil, not God. Did you hear me? I'll put it to you like this. Would you ever use it on Jesus? Well, no, that's foolish. I'm full of Jesus. Quit trying it on me. I'm telling you, this is right. We can be great warriors. We can be tremendous men and women of God. And we can walk and have the light of the gospel and the joy of the Lord. And we can teach other men to be so. When we get out there and because of our, see, I'm good at what I do. And I'll be the first to tell you. And you come and I'll show you. Where I live, what I do, I'm the best. All right. Now, Was that pride and ambition talking? Well, it depends on how you look at me as to whether you think that's pride and ambition. And that's your opinion. But you ain't walked my mountain yet. So I don't think I judge me yet. I walked yours. There's a difference. See here, his name shall be called. If Jesus ever loses any of his wonder to you, if he ever loses any of his counsel to you, if he ever becomes your ability, as God's taught you so much that you can't trust God's mighty God in Jesus, if you can't see him as everlasting Father, and if your peace is not everlasting, something's wrong with what you're doing. You need to regroup and get these things back in priority and then go back to the battle. And it's easy to misplace a couple of these when you're in the noise of confused battle. It is, y'all. I don't consider myself an authority. Other people say I am. I don't see it that way. I just see myself as a nut that loves Jesus and loves Indians. And nothing's going to stop it. In Jesus' name. The ability that God's given me to love my Indians, I wish I could give it to every man in here that's got a vision for a particular area. I am driven. You talk about ambition. I am driven to make sure that every Indian hears the gospel. I am compelled. I can't sleep at night. Most nights I get 3-4 hours of sleep. I just sit up thinking about ways to get out there more and do more with the few things we got and get us cut thinner and thinner until God spoke to me the other day. I mean, we have a great plan. It's set up nice, isn't it, Paul? I mean, our work is working. And God spoke to me the other day, I've got too big of an army. No! So out of the 12 guys that work right there around me in Mexico, I took 9 of them. I said, I want 9 of you best men. We're going to find us more hell holes to destroy. I'm taking our big giant work and cutting it down to where 3 or 4 men are going to run the thing, and the rest of us are going into virgin territory. Put that on paper, it won't work. But you listen to the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the counsel, the wonder of mankind, it'll work for you if you'll trust Him. What that's going to add is more battle. That'll add more confused noise and bloodletting. I know what that's going to do. Come here, Paul. This man right here got a vision the other day in our work. I had him put it on paper. This is what's going to happen in our work. I want you to read that to those men, please, and women. Go ahead. Don't be nervous. Come up here. Put your Bible right up here.
Thank you. How y'all doing?
Read that vision right there.
I crested a hilltop, and I saw vast crowds of Indians, unfamiliar faces, grateful faces. They showed me the coffins of their dead, raised and healed. I was part of this vision. I was physically present. I could feel in my hands the soil of their land. I could smell in my nostrils the smoke of their fires. I saw their houses. There was a vast multitude. They were thrilled we had come with the gospel. They were crying and thanking us. Then the vision in a moment showed me in the spirit realm what devastation we had wrought on the kingdom of darkness. Utter devastation. Complete annihilation to all deception, witchcraft, sickness, blindness, etc. Total victory was brought about. Many, many souls were saved and made whole. Then the vision unfolded another realm, and I was shown what must be suffered to bring this to pass.
Shitty!
A tremendous price. Immediately I was witnessing a beating of 2 or more men. Their hands were tied up into trees, and they were being beaten. The man on the right was clearly an Indian because his back was brown. Instantly, we were at the gravesite. Understand that there was no distinction between Indian or American in this. We worked as one. We were all placing flowers on a grave. Next, I felt the rough scraping of the casket ropes in my hands. I was lowering into a grave one of our own. I felt such loss, such grief, agony. I prayed it was not David Hogan's grave. It was so necessary, though. The rope was lowered and the casket covered with dirt. We each threw a handful of dirt. There was weeping and anguish, yet it was victorious. I kept smelling their fires and feeling the earth in my hands. I could almost feel their tears on my face. Their weeping of joy was mixed with our weeping for our dead. The blood of Indians and Americans was mingled. Those of our own ranks were taken from us. There was unity, trust, powerful love. Our sobs and groaning was like that of one crying for their dead. Emotions ran high within the vision. Felt were dedication, trust, love, agony and grief, admiration, loss, gratitude, oneness, unity, gladness, joy, peace, accomplishment, travail. At times they swirled together, and joy and grief were experienced together. I physically felt many things in the vision: smoke, the ground, ropes in my hands, tears. I also heard crying, rejoicing, voices, beatings. I saw faces, many new, some recognized. I remember Brother Felipe de Talol's face, Brother David's face. Almost all of the Indian Board of Directors and American workers were felt, but not actually seen. The vision ended with a feeling of destiny, of necessity. These people absolutely must be reached now. There was a certainty, an urgency to it. It must and will happen. Grief became joy, pain became gratitude. It was worth it, whatever it cost. Victory was sweet.
See, God has shown us the cost. I'm going to pay it. See, last night, whoever was here and you understood what I said about King David willing to pay the cost, you didn't know what was in my heart when I'm saying that. See, you think I'm just another guy up here trying to twist you to get some money out of you. No, I do it different. I can rip you off. Y'all are so gullible to that. That's not my goal in life, church, is to rip you off. It's to take your people and let them die martyrs for the gospel of God so that other people can live for the kingdom of God. That's my goal. And see, few people are willing to listen to me and hear. This kind of talk is lunacy. You're crazy, Hogan. Man, you're out of your mind. No, I'm not. If you've ever done any studying in your Bible in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, do you understand that where it says, "You shall be witnesses"? Anybody ever know what that word means?
Martyr.
What does that mean?
Martyr.
Do you understand? It doesn't necessarily mean to all of us die, but it means to be so engrossed in what you're doing for God that everything else is nothing. Well, that's what's wrong with me. That's why y'all view me so strange and odd and different, because that's all that's wrong with me. I'm filled with martyrdom. You see? And I don't believe they can kill me. I don't think the devil has the power until the moment God says He's finished the work and He lifts, I'm a goner. That's the only time they're getting me out. And I challenge and defy it all. You don't have, I have any right I choose from God. You butt out. That's my stand about it. See, God gave us, we went to Him and asked Him specifically to give us vision. We have vision on how to. Now we want to know what to. There's a difference. I know how to get Indians. But what do I have to give? I'm willing. That's what God's asking of you too, church. Nothing less. Not anything less will be accepted to get what you've asked God for. Because your heart, I feel your heart. You're crying to God for His glory. You're wanting souls. You're wanting healing and deliverance. You want it. But see, there's a fable being taught up here that Jesus already paid the supreme and only price. He did pay the price for our salvation. Now we're going to pay it for somebody else's. Did you hear me? And it's part of the sufferings of Christ. Do you understand? Please hear me. And if you can grip that, you'll be bad. Yeah. But it's too costly for most folks, and I realize that. And I want to tell you one thing here. My mouth is not only out there, my son is out there. Now you got real quiet. My boy lives in one of the hottest places in Mexico. I know the work. I know where it's easier. I know where it's lighter. Do you understand? I could ask him, I think it's God, son, for you to go here. Here's 50 churches. You're not going to be in danger every night you go out. You just go preach the gospel and live a good, prosperous life. But you see, I trained him to hear God. And he comes up to me and says, Daddy, you pray about this as my leader and as my pastor in the work. But I think it's God for me to go here. I didn't show any expression, but my inside started racing. Because I fought them devils so many days. I know what's there. Do you know what I told him? After 5 days, it's yours. You know what I did? Unless God's divine hand is on my son, I signed his death warrant. How can you do that? Because them engines need Jesus. And my best is all I got to offer. Do you hear any difference in anything now? My blood's good, and it's been poured out down there before. And then no doubt it'll be poured out again. But the best blood I've got is my oldest boy. And he's out there now. I know this is real serious and everything. I'm real aggressive. I feel super aggressive here. Man. Oh, man. I'm just bubbling. My blood's running hot against the devil. I just wanted to share that with you. Now we'll do whatever y'all want to. Is there any questions? Probably ain't any questions. Don't want to hear nothing now, do you? Holy Ghost. Ora te ke te leba. Holy Ghost. Well then. Tell you what we better do. Why don't we just stand up and worship Jesus for a minute? This vest done got awful hot. God bless me with that nice split cowhide vest from Argentina. Got it in Paraguay. $15. Look here, you know, you say to me, Hogan, I feel for you. I pray for you. God bless you. That you know what? That won't hurt my feelings one bit. It won't. I'll look at you and I won't say a word to you, but I feel sorry for you. Because God has something for us that you can't even... I don't even think it's possible. I don't think there's a man ever been born yet that's going to understand what's going to happen in these last days. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. There's glory and wonder for us that's waiting on us. All we got to do is somehow find out how to peel this low-life flesh off of us and get a hold of it. The Lord, God, help us to get rid of this demon. Let it just burn off of us, God. Let that Holy Ghost flood us. That's what I want. Is that what you want? All right, let me see here what we need to do here. All you guys are ministers, you know, I tell you what, let's just come around this thing as the altar. It's not really the altar of God, but you don't have to. But and I don't want you to feel like you, what do y'all call it? What is that? Molestado, David? They're bothered. You know, I don't want you to feel bothered if you just don't feel, hey, I don't feel this thing at all. It won't hurt my, like I said, it won't hurt my feelings. But if you would like to just step down here a minute, let's seek the Lord for a few minutes together, men and women, husbands, wives, and just call out to God. Would you put on a tape or something low? You probably don't have nothing about the blood, do you? David. Holy Ghost. And I'd invite you, men and women of God, that have carry the burden of the cross on you. I know you do. I feel it. I feel it that you carry it. And I'm not challenging your call or your vision. That's not my point. My point is simply to not allow the demon to get us and take our eyes because of the battle off of the glory and off of the joy and the wonder of God. And if you really, inside, I would like for you to just let God flow through you here. Let God lift these burdens. And let God lift the ambitious heart that's in, the incorrect ambitious heart. Now, I'm not talking about God's ambition here. I'm talking about ambition that God turns you on to that you've now turned into your abilities and your technology. Let God touch you. Let God run through you. Don't resist the Holy Ghost. Come, Holy Ghost. There are so many of us here who want a touch from you, Father. We're calling out to you. Just receive it. You know how. Receive the touch of heaven right now. Let the wind of heaven blow through you right now in Jesus' name. Holy Ghost. God, let all the things of the battle that the demon has turned on us and encumbered us with and is dragging us down.